Hi, I'm Rebecca McKinnon, and today I'm speaking with a blogger who goes by the nom de plume Lebanon Profile, and he is one of the bloggers for the Lebanese Political Journal. How are you doing, Lebanon Profile?
Great. Good to be on.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. So I know you don't want to have your real name released to the public, but can you tell us a little bit about yourself? And you know, you sound like you've got an American accent. So tell us a bit about who you are to the extent that you feel you can, and why you're there and why you're blogging.
Well, I grew up in an American system. I had an English education as my base. I also am well-versed in French and, of course, Arabic, although I'm not very good in written Arabic, since I've been writing in English my entire life. I've lived in Europe and Africa and the United States at different points in my life, and then now I've come back to Lebanon to be here full time.
Right.
And I got into blogging pretty much because of the complete political turmoil in this country, and reading what the press had to offer, and noticing that it wasn't quite full, that much of the Lebanese press had a political agenda it was pushing, while much of the foreign press didn't quite understand what was going on. And secondly, it seemed like quite a bit of the foreign press had an agenda of their own as well.
What do you think their agenda is?
Well, different people have different points of view. I've come to the conclusion that the Republican Party, at least Republican biased reporters in the United States, prefer to give Bush a lot of the credit for what's going on here, which he does deserve credit, but not necessarily as much as people give him. People like to connect the Iraq war and the Bush agenda to the protests that went on in Lebanon. And although Bush's influence in Lebanon did help remove the Syrian presence, I would not connect our resistance to the Iraq war. Nobody came out on the streets and claimed that Iraq was the reason for our newfound freedom. That's a little bit too much of a connection that oftentimes more right-wing journalists will make. And in terms of the left wing, there's a lot of Hezbollah apologists. It seems a lot of people like to think of Hezbollah as a humanitarian organization, which it partially is. They build hospitals and they have human services sectors and so on. But these same journalists like to forget about Hezbollah's military wing, forget about the weapons that it has, forget about the missiles. Now the Secretary General of Hezbollah has said that they have 12,000 missiles pointed at Israel. That's a pretty big factor to forget, and that's one of the reasons why I chose to get online and point out to the world what I think Lebanon is about. Now, yes, I have a few biases of my own. You know, I'm not against the capitalist system. You know, I'm not in favor of communism, but that's about it.
What's your religion?
I come from a mixed background, and I don't normally identify my religion publicly because I'm not really a member of any faith, and I've actually delved into my past, looking into different ancestries. I'll admit that, you know, originally my family was Druze a few hundred years ago, but then the family broke apart and split into different sects. And I'm actually the product of a mixing of those sects, so very well versed in Christianity and Islam, and I think that a lot of that has contributed to who I am today, but I wouldn't say that one sect has an influence over the other.
So you're classic Lebanese melting pot.
Yeah, pretty much. And the funny thing is, when people do try to corner me in the sectarian debate, which oftentimes a lot of foreigners on the internet try to do as well, you know, it's very difficult to point out when I can, you know, grab just as much statistics on Islam, and I can quote the Quran as well as anyone, and then do the same thing with the Bible. So.
So you know, with blogging, you know, I was talking to Gustav just a little bit ago about his motivations, and he talked a lot, you know, as you do, about frustrations with oversimplification and agendas in both the local media and the international media, and the desire to get the word out. Do you feel that your blogging has had an impact?
Most definitely. I don't know how much of an impact, but I know specifically on one occasion in which a journalist, I wouldn't say internationally syndicated, but someone with an international presence who's, you know, been published in a number of different papers, has changed some of her points because of something that I wrote online, for which we received perhaps 10,000 hits.
What was that?
And that was a post I wrote against an article written in the Washington Post on the Lebanese elections. And this woman kind of cornered the debate, and it seemed like she had quite a bit of an agenda. It seemed pro-Shia in terms of the language, but in a very aqueous manner. So sometimes it seemed quite mingled or mixed. I don't know how to quite put it, but I could direct you to the post. I don't have it in front of myself.
Yeah, maybe, but you could email me the link, and then I can share it with people on the blog and the original article and so forth.
She seemed to have put herself in an unbiased position when, in fact, she was pushing a cause. She was improperly quoting Lebanese history, and she seemed to be arguing against the Maronites, which, you know, I said, you know, this isn't a sectarian debate, and to make the election law into blatantly a sectarian issue is to undermine everyone and to reinforce the status of sectarianism. So by bringing up sectarianism, when in fact this is an issue of, you know, one person, one vote, is a little bit disingenuous. But that was one post for which we received around 10,000 hits. I've received hits for some of the other posts I've had. One I called a Lebanese political manifesto about what we wanted and why we wanted it, and just the basics, you know, about how we really want to live in a free society, and why, and of democracy, and promoting democracy is not necessarily, you know, a free agenda. Just because Bush likes to talk about democracy doesn't mean that it's bad.
Right. I mean, this seems to be, I keep running into this over and over, that from a lot of Americans sometimes assume that if you're pro-democracy, if you're in a particular country and you're pro-democracy, you must be pro-U.S., which may or may not necessarily be the case, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm one of the first people to call out the United States when it comes to policies in the Middle East and all of these different discrepancies. And I think quite a lot of the anger over his foreign policy has to do with the Iraq War and with his domestic policies that are then attributed to actually, you know, genuine causes. So people are still angry about Iraq. They're angry about what he's doing domestically. And so they choose to put his other projects in negative light, when in fact I think he's been very good when it comes to Lebanon.
Right. Could you elaborate on that, what you think has been positive?
Well, I believe that the reason we are free from foreign influence, at least Syrian foreign influence, not quite yet Iran, is because of the United States and France putting pressure on Syria to leave our country, to get out now, and to not fire on civilians while we're doing that. Sorry, there's a truck passing.
No problem.
but to not fire on civilians while they planned on exiting. Now,
right.
We're having a campaign of targeted assassinations just today.
Yeah.
George Howley, the former communist leader, was assassinated. You know, this is going on, but at least we're not seeing, you know, 50 people being gunned down in the streets by armed soldiers. We, you know, that didn't happen. And I think the United States deserves a lot of credit for pushing a free Lebanon, for pushing for our actual freedom here.
Right.
And that's not to say anything about the Iraq War. That's not to say anything about Palestine. That's not to say, you know, anything about John Kerry. That's just to claim that without concerted American effort, daily briefings by the State Department, without David Satterfield, the Deputy Assistant Secretary of State, showing up and sitting in the Lebanese the American embassy in Lebanon, I don't think we would have gotten this far. I don't think we would have pushed this far this fast.
Right.
And I don't think the reforms would have come. And I don't know if the elections would have happened on time. But I think we definitely needed the support of the United States and France, and we will need their continued support in the next few months when it comes to reforming the parliament, looking at debt restructuring, looking at how much Lebanon owes the international community in terms of, you know, private and public debt. So getting us on our feet is going to require significant effort. And I don't mean to undermine President Bush by also asserting the French presence. I think Jacques Chirac's support was just as important as President Bush's. Bush provided the military cover. Bush struck fear into the hearts of the Syrians, while France went around and got the Europeans to strike economic fear into the hearts of Syria. The Spanish and the Greeks have quite a lot of economic trade that goes on with Syria, and France made it very, very clear to those countries that the support of Syria was helping undermine our country. And Jacques Chirac himself personally showed up in Lebanon, went to the grave of assassinated Prime Minister Rafik Hariri, and really brought the attention of the world community here by putting himself in our context. That was a very brave move, and that gained a lot of our respect for him personally,
right,
and for the French agenda in the Middle East.
Yeah. And so are you worried that, you know, now that the Cedar Revolution has happened, now that Syrian troops have withdrawn, and now the elections have happened, that the international spotlight is going to move away and people are going to stop paying attention, and that it's going to be harder to sort of sustain the momentum and the support that Lebanon's been getting so far?
Well, I think if we prove ourselves in reforming a lot of the internal corruption in this country, that Lebanon has a lot to offer the world community, and the world community will give us back, give back to us through perhaps, you know, mitigating our debt burden, at least to some extent, or either perhaps putting us at the negotiating table with Israel when it comes to debate over the Golan Heights and the Palestinian issue. So I think we're still going to remain in the international spotlight, but I think not being in the international spotlight as prominently isn't necessarily a bad thing.
And so with your blogging...
That means that we've actually...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I said that, you know, if we're not in the spotlight, that means we've reached enough of a level of international stability that, you know, there's not much news to comment on, and people hopefully in the future will think about us like they think of Singapore, a nice but boring place, rather than a place where car bombs go off every day.
Right, right. And so then in terms of your blogging going forward, sort of what are you hoping to call attention to, or what are you hoping to sort of keep in people's minds that maybe might not happen through the mainstream media?
Well, the problem is right now that we've broken down into multiple camps, and those lines, the lines between the camps have blurred quite significantly. It's no longer opposition versus pro-Syria. It's no longer, you know, feudal versus new faces. It's a blurring. It's intermixed. And I think what I'm trying to keep alive through the blog is a true change in Lebanon, not just changing the faces at the top, not just stopping corruption, but in fact making our society more civil, making our country a nicer place to live, giving us a suitable government and suitable civic structure. And so to promote those issues, you know, I mean, sometimes it might even get as simple as, you know, promoting the use of sidewalks for pedestrians instead of cars, you know, but that's what I'm looking at right now.
And so to what extent do you feel you're having an impact on the political discourse there within Lebanon now? I mean, are you widely read by sort of journalists and influential people there that when you post about, you know, the issue of sidewalks, for instance, that it'll kind of get into the discussion?
Well, nobody else in Lebanon at the moment is really concerned about civic life. I mean, politics is number one. So what we get the most hits on is when I post on Michel Aoun or other politicians and, you know, my opinion of that, or, you know, deconstructing a passage by Jim Blount and what he said. And so whenever we're quoted and whenever I've heard something influencing a political decision, which supposedly through secondary sources I've heard that we have influenced at least two different political campaigns, and we have influenced some reporters at different newspapers. I didn't hear this from the source. I heard this through a secondary source.
Can you tell me more about that, to whatever extent you can, about the way in which you had this influence?
Well, here's one example. On Gibran Tweni, he posted a website, and on that website there was a countdown clock. And that countdown clock was something that was being promoted by a website called the Pulse of Freedom. Now, Gibran wasn't originally part of the Pulse of Freedom website. He wasn't part of the campaign. His newspaper offered us a lot of services. But supposedly, he chose to take from the Pulse of Freedom website the countdown clock idea and put it on his website. And he also supposedly looked at the Lebanese Political Journal, looked at what we had to offer, and chose to structure his website in at least not quite a similar fashion, but, you know, to leave a comment section open for debate, to have a forum. And now, we weren't the only website he looked at, but that's the most prominent example. The another example is supposedly a reporter from the Daily Star has been regularly looking at the blog and coming up with different political ideas to write about. And I can actually show some direct citations to our blog on the internet. If you go to michaeltotten.com, you'll see that we are prominently quoted there. And Michael, in fact, has quoted quite a lot of our privately stated opinions in some of his other writings. So, but we try to mask our identity as much as possible, given the tenuous political situation and given our personal connections to different people in this country. Because I say a lot of things online that I would never say out loud, primarily because in this country, family is so important. That to offend someone in the family, to do a disservice to someone in the family, is really a grave crime. And the only way that we can work around that is through anonymity. Because I think that some of these people, even if they're close to me in terms of blood, in terms of family, are doing corrupt things, and their agendas need to change. And that's one of the reasons why I maintain my anonymity, because I don't want to personally offend any of these people, especially given that, you know, I'm a very young person in my early 20s. So,
right. You know. You've got a long career ahead of you, I would assume.
That's right.
and your day job, you're a journalist, right?
Yeah. I'm working on the political journal, but I also have written quite a bit for other publications, and I'm working in media monitoring as well, looking at coverage of the news by different news sources in Arabic and English.
Right.
And being paid for my labor.
Right. Well, getting paid is a very good thing.
Yeah. And that's something that can stop. It's something that can stop very quickly if you offend the wrong people.
Right. Yeah. And so how do you see this going forward, just in terms of the way in which blogs like yours are, you know, in a number of countries now, really shaping a new ecosystem of media and conversation, you know, civic conversation? And how do you see it evolving in Lebanon that way?
Well, I think the online community still has a long way to go here, and that's for technical reasons primarily. I mean, most people do not have internet connections in their own homes.
Right.
It's really expensive, and that's beginning to change. The government contract recently came into existence to allow. I'm blanking on the word, but. High-speed internet to give access,
ideas,
broadband, exactly,
mm-hmm.
broadband to people's houses, but that's still, you know, in its process. It's nothing that's quite been established yet. So for people to actually start taking blogs more seriously means that they have to have the internet in their houses and be hooked up to the internet, you know, at their jobs to be able to look at the websites and actually, you know, contribute more and become part of the community. And I think it's quite interesting that I think there are actually more Iraqi bloggers than there are Lebanese bloggers.
Yeah.
So
that's very interesting.
It kind of shows you that there's not as much of an internet culture here yet, and there's not as much of a perhaps an interest in getting Lebanese opinions out to the international community. But I think that's going to change soon.
Yeah. One other question I have about the sort of the Lebanese blogosphere, if you will. You know, different countries have different types of blogging communities, it seems, and in some countries, for whatever reason, the blogging community, or at least the initial ones, tend to come out of one particular political persuasion or tend to be represented by one main demographic, and so on. And so I'm wondering if you could describe a little bit, you know, for people who are sort of coming to the, you know, who come across a big blog roll of Lebanese blogs for the first time and start going through them. You know, who are these people? Do they tend to be sort of young, tech-savvy, you know, anti-Syria? Or, you know, what's sort of the makeup of the Lebanese blogosphere?
Well, I'm going to, you know, jump on the Lebanese third rail here and and say, bring up the sectarian issue. And from what I've noticed, the online community is primarily made up of Christians. Christian Lebanese youths, and this is most apparent in the Lebanese forces forums and the pre-patriotic movement websites, and they've got a very strong, incredibly strong following, and I've tracked that myself in terms of numbers based on hits to my website. Whenever something on my site is picked up by a thread on the Lebanese forces forum or, you know, on a free patriotic movement forum, I get thousands of hits from all over the world, Australia, California, Tennessee, I mean, everywhere across the globe, Ghana, Nigeria, and whenever I post anything about Hezbollah, I really don't get any hits from any sort of Shia forum. Now, that doesn't mean that a Shia forum or a Hezbollah partisan forum does not exist, But I just haven't encountered it. I really haven't encountered a Muslim or Sunni or Druze forum online. whereas I have when it comes to the Lebanese forces and the Free Patriotic Movement. So quite a lot of the websites that you might be coming to are perhaps Christian-created and Christian-run websites. That doesn't mean that they're necessarily biased. That doesn't mean that these bloggers are pushing a Christian agenda or a Lebanese forces agenda, or that they're, you know, sectarian or, you know, anti-Muslim. It just means that, you know, you're getting a particular perspective. But, you know, there are quite a lot of other reputable blogs. The Beirut Spring is one of them, and Mustafa, the main blogger for that, has identified himself as being Muslim. And the Lebanese bloggers have identified themselves as, you know, as being Druze and Muslim, and so there's plenty of Muslim presence online. I've chosen to keep myself up in the air, and so people aren't quite sure, and I like to keep it that way. But Gustav has, you know, come out and said that, you know, he himself is a Maronite, and that actually gives a very powerful credence to what he says when he talks about the region he's from, and when he talks about his sect, and when he looks into the data, and when he talks to the people, he can actually provide a unique perspective. And he does a very good job of being unbiased. He does a very good job of not asserting his political opinion when he's just reporting. He does an excellent job of that. And I try to do the same myself. And so I think quite a lot of Lebanese bloggers online are trying to not suppress their sectarian tendencies, but in fact don't think about sect when they first come to an opinion. Think about another blogger in terms of their opinion, in terms of the quality of their writing, in terms of their perspective or perhaps intelligent analysis before they think of the blogger as being Muslim or Shia or Christian.
Right. And so what's your advice to somebody from the U.S. or Europe or Asia or whatever who comes to the Lebanese blogs for the first time, you know, kind of looking for the grassroots voice of what's happening there? How do you suggest they read the Lebanese blogs in order to get the most out of it and you know, not also jump to wrong conclusions about anything?
Well, that's difficult. I'm still trying to figure that out myself. I've noticed with blogs, sometimes it takes a little bit of time to figure out the perspective the person is writing from. And then once you figure that out, you'll notice that their analysis isn't necessarily as brilliant as you originally thought it was. So this person has pretty much, you know, adopted either Marxist or neocon rhetoric and put it into the Lebanese context. But I guess my advice would be to stick with it, to look at what people are actually thinking on the ground, and to look at what the bloggers are saying, because these are people who obviously care enough about Lebanese politics, who care enough about their country to write about it on a regular basis and to use up their spare time, most of it for free, to promote an issue and to try to analyze it. Some blogs you'll immediately figure out are simply, you know, propaganda pieces for a specific party, but most of the blogs that I read every day are, you know, are better sources than the news media when it comes to looking at elections data, looking at what people actually think about in their homes. And Lebanon is enough of a fragmented country that, you know, I live in Beirut. I'm from the Bekaa Valley. I don't really know what the scene in Tripoli is like. I don't know what people there think. I don't know the culture. And when I go there, sometimes it does seem like a different country to me. And I know that they feel the same way when they come to the Bekaa. They drive through Hermel, they drive through Baalbek, they drive through Zahle, and they think, you know, where am I? What is all this stuff? This is different topography and so on. So I think the blogs provide a unique perspective, and just stick with it. Just keep reading the blogs, and the rhetoric will become apparent once you read a diverse array enough of different Lebanese bloggers. But I would choose perhaps maybe four to read continually. And
right. And which are your favorite four, other than your own, or favorite?
well, on a daily basis, I turn to Across the Bay, which is BeirutToBayside.blogspot.com. It's run by a guy named Tony Badran, who's a PhD candidate in a university in the United States. It's a pretty right-wing blog. I don't always agree with everything on it, but he's got some great analysis. I turn to Mustafa.
He's not actually in Lebanon, right?
No, he's not. No, he's not. Yeah. But he also doesn't really tackle issues on the ground in Lebanon. And that's something, I guess, a short caveat in the middle of what I was about to say. Most of the bloggers I read and most of the other people online regarding Lebanon are not based in Lebanon. Some travel to Lebanon every so often, but they are not presently on the ground. So Mustafa at BeirutSpring.blogspot.com, he's based out of Africa. He's not based here. The Lebanese bloggers are based out of the United States. They come and visit Lebanon, but they aren't based here. The people based on the ground here are pretty much my website and Caveman in Beirut, who's not Lebanese but was based on the ground here, is no longer writing. He used to be a great source. But yeah, most of the other bloggers are not in Lebanon.
But you feel that despite the fact they're not there, they still provide useful information and perspective on what's happening.
Oh, very much. Very much so. Especially because as Lebanese, we're very interconnected. I mean, people are probably calling their parents or receiving phone calls from nagging parents on a daily basis or, you know, a weekly basis. So, and sometimes I notice that the Lebanese abroad actually know a lot more than the Lebanese on the ground. One blog I didn't mention yet is The Lebanese Abroad, which is run by a guy who goes by the alias Thinking Man. And he has provided, you know, an incredible source for Lebanese abroad, but also for looking at the Lebanese politics and issues on the ground in Lebanon, and he's not based here, and
wow.
You know, so it's pretty incredible that the people who take the most interest, I think, in Lebanese politics are the ones who are based outside of Lebanon, and it also gives them a good perspective, because when I'm here, when I just, you know, go off the handle on Hezbollah, a lot of times it's because I was driving through one of their neighborhoods and in the Bekaa in Beirut, and, you know, some protest was going on, and I overheard some people say some really stupid things and chant some things, and, you know, I really get riled up, and then, you know, I'll be driving through Bekaa, and there'll be a big Kitab demonstration in favor of Pierre Jamal, and I'll get all fired up and angry and decide I want to write on that. And so I'm providing people with information that's on the ground here, but it's hard to step outside and kind of look at the situation from an international perspective, which is what I think a lot of the Lebanese abroad are able to do. They're able to put things in order without delving into the nitty-gritty specifics, because when you're here, you get really angry about, you know, a one-liner that Jumblatt says, but how important is that overall?
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Well, this is fascinating. I could keep asking you lots more questions, but I'm going to have to call it here so that we don't go on too long, so that people don't have these huge, massive files to download on the podcast. So thank you very much. Lebanon Profile. We're not supposed to say your real name in public, but one of the bloggers of Lebanese Political Journal. Fascinating stuff, and look forward to talking to you more in the future. Thanks very much.
Thank you.